guys, it's your host Van on Best Week Ever Podcast. Before we get into the episode with my guest Kelly, I wanted to jump in here and promote a little bit about my Patreon. If you haven't already known, on Patreon we are recapping the Traitors season 2 US version, and guys, I am at a loss for words at the end of this season. So if you guys are totally on my side where, you know, MJ deserves justice and more on that, please sign up for the Patreon. It's $5 a month. If you just want to join in 1 month, that's fine too, just to listen in to me and Nicole from Countess and Frenemies talk about who we love and who we hate, obviously the faithfuls, and our explanation and recapping of the whole entire season. I had a lot of fun. And also, if you are loving this podcast and you want to see, you know, the video alongside with the episode, it is unedited, so it's a lot more fun and you see my mistakes more and more. You'll see that I edit my show a lot. But yeah, please check the Patreon. And another thing I'd like for you guys to do, if you have time, please rate and review this podcast. Give me 5 stars. Share it with a friend. I know that it is a simple task and it is cringing for me to ask for you to do this, but it does help the podcast grow. And if you want to leave a review, please be kind. I am not here for the fucking nonsense. And with that being said, without any further ado, please enjoy this episode with me and Kelly from Beyond the Blinds and Laguna Beach.
Here's something I just can't understand. If a guy have 3 girls, then he's the man. He could even give us some head and sex a roar. If a girl do the same, then she's a whore. But the table's about to turn. I bet my fame on it. Cats take my ideas and put their name on it. It's alright though. You can't hold me down. I got to keep on moving.
Two of my girls with a man who be trying to mack. Do it right back to him and let that be that. You need to let him know that his game is whack. And little Kim and Christina Aguilera got your back.
Welcome back to another week of Best Week Ever, where we discuss who's having the best and worst week ever in pop culture. This week, I'm super excited, guys. I have a returning guest, but a lovely guest, a very fangirling guest. I'm super excited to have her on, Kelly from Beyond the Blinds, and we all know her from Laguna Beach on Instagram. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I have a little bit of like a frog in my throat, so I do apologize if my voice is like a little rough.
Well, it's been a rough week, so I feel like that frog in your throat is there for a reason.
Probably.
But let's get into it. Before we start, can you let my listeners know about Beyond the Blinds? I know you guys are touring this summer, which I'm super excited, guys. Please come to the San Francisco. It's on June 21st. I'm going to be there. I'm super excited because you guys have a lot of fun on the tour date shows.
Yeah. We try and make every show different. So even if, you know, you've been to a show, say in New York, like it won't be the same if you go to any other shows. We're starting May 3rd in DC, which I'm really excited about. And then we'll be touring all throughout May and into late June. We're going to be on the West Coast, some cities we've never been. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. We have interactive games with the crowd. I don't want to give away too much, but we make sure that like the crowd also feels invited to like, you know, laugh and just have like a good time.
I love that. I'm so excited for you guys. And we are going to jump into our worst week ever. Worst week ever honorable mentions. Who do you have this week?
So for the honorable mentions, I went with the Biebers.
Yes.
I was torn between them or Andy Cohen, but I know Andy Cohen has like a lot of people on his side. But Hailey Bieber, I mean, coming out saying blind items are false after like her dad reposted something that someone in their church reposted. It's like, I think you're talking to the wrong people. Like, I think people who, you know, Beyond the Blinds is about blind items, obviously. But like, I think people who know about blind items are also aware that they're not always true.
Yeah.
I know. I thought it was really weird for her dad to reappear because I did not even hear about their pastor posting anything on like about their prayer that he apparently announced. And then I didn't know about that until her father like posted again, like everybody like put prayers up for Haley and Justin. And it's like, why would you send that like message out for people to talk, you know, especially your daughter?
Exactly. And honestly, the Biebers have enough people questioning them, right? Like, people have always been like, does Justin even like Haley? And to have your dad be like, they really need prayers, like, that's just fanning the fires, really.
Yeah, I mean, there's already a lot of like pressure with the relationship. I mean, a la Selena Gomez, a la like her wanting to have kids, because I know that's like a thing between Justin and Haley. The topic is always like, why don't they have kids? And like, it also reminds me, and I think you said this earlier this week on your Kiki show with Beyond the Blinds. It reminds me how religious they are, because I forget that like they are like very, they're Catholic or Christian. Can
I believe Christian, but I could be wrong. I don't know like a lot about religion, if I'm being honest.
I name, and I should know because I've done like communion and all that stuff as a kid. You'd think I should have paid attention on Sunday school, but I didn't. yeah, I forget that. They are like he's gone to, he's also, Justin Bieber has been involved with that Hillsong church. And yeah, it's just a bad week for the Biebers because they already have so much conversations talking about their relationship, and for having close people to talk about you in the public like that, that's, I'm sure there's a huge boundary now.
Right. And it's also like these people know what they're doing, posting that there's trouble in like the Bieber's home. And I guess for me, it's like, okay, yell at blind items. I get that. I get why you're coming at them. But like, this wasn't, I mean, it wasn't blind items a little bit, but like, it wasn't publicly stated the way that like someone in your church actually said, like, these two are having issues.
Yeah, no, that's definitely the worst week for the Biebers for sure, because more rumors are just going to start going around. For my worst week ever, honorable mention, I have to give it to the cold read that Rolling Stones had on Jonathan Van Ness's major outbreak. So, guys, if you haven't noticed, Rolling Stone came out with an article stating that Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye was described as a monster, a nightmare, and demeaning. Three people labeled Van Ness as emotionally abusive and having rage issues. And yes, that's a worse week for Jonathan Van Ness because, like, we all see them as this happy, love and light person to find out that they are not exactly that person. But mostly the worst week ever, why it's on my honorable mention, this Rolling Stone article, not too sure who wrote it, but they wrote, some speculate that despite infighting intentions, the other members agreed to return because Queer Eye serves as the main vehicle to keep their stardom afloat and support their separate ventures, some of which are floundering. So this is my worst week ever because not only did he go in on Jonathan Van Ness, but here he comes just trashing on the rest of the cast. France's next in fashion competition show with co-host Gigi Hadid stalled after two seasons on Netflix, and he recently launched his own production company. Van Ness's popular podcast, Getting Curious, was refitted into a docu-series on Netflix, which has gone dark after one season. The main backer for their JVN hair care line went bankrupt, with the brand offloading at a stunningly low $1.25 million price. Brown's syndicated talk show brings in around 600,000 viewers, and YouTubers' episodes fluctuate between 150K and 500K views on average. However, his little-known skincare brand Mantle has fewer than 10,000 followers on Instagram. And Porowski, who recently announced a new docu-series with National Geographic, saw his co-owned restaurant at the Village Den in New York City shutter in 2021 after 3 years. This is not only bad for Van Ness, but this is bad for all of them as a whole. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, they're actually my worst week.
Yes. The whole group, Queer Eye.
yeah, just the whole group. I feel like, yeah, that last sentence that you just read, like, I don't know. It seems like they're all really bad. JVN might be the worst out of all of them, but I thought when Bobby left that they did treat Bobby differently on the show. Like, it was very obvious how they treated Bobby. That's why Bobby became my favorite. And yeah, I think that this is just the downfall of Queer Eye, and they're all very good at manufacturing what they do and how they present themselves. And I guess, like, I was surprised by JVN, but if someone was to tell me, like, Tan or Anthony are terrible, I wouldn't have been surprised. Well, or even Karamo, honestly, because, like, I've known Karamo since his Real World season, you know?
And he was not liked in his season, I remember that. And Tan already has issues with Bobby. I remember there was rumors of them, like, even watching this past season, because I am an avid watcher. I love Queer Eye even since the early 2000s. But yeah, Tan and Bobby are not filmed at all together, like, in a room. If it is, it's with the whole group. But yeah, there was rumors of them not being friendly, and you can tell that, you know, Jonathan Van Ness was very sided with Tan at the time. And yeah, each one of these men, even Anthony, I feel like Anthony might be the lightest of them all, just because the biggest controversial area for him is, like, let's make avocado toast. And that's what you learn for the rest of the episode. You know what I mean?
Right. That's so true.
Well, meanwhile, everyone has to have, like, some deep heart talk. Karamo, Tan has to, you know, redo their whole fashion sense. Bobby is hardworking on renovating. But yeah, I feel like Anthony just had the lightest one of them all.
Yeah, but something about Anthony makes me think he has the darkest background. I don't know. I get, like, dark energy from Anthony.
Really? I mean,
I can't explain it.
He's in that Taylor Swift group. I know everybody was just, like, shocked the first time Taylor Swift went to see Travis play for his football game. I was more into the whole, why is Hugh Jackman walking in with Anthony side by side? That was, like, a huge announcement for me.
For sure. For, like, that's a, you just said everything you needed to say about those two.
But yes, the Rolling Stone story, I highly recommend it, guys. Please, it will be on the show notes for our links. Another honorable mention, worst week ever, I have to give it to Bradley Cooper. I know everyone thinks he's having some sort of midlife crisis, but correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the PR is really PRing right now with Gigi Hadid and Bradley Cooper. The fact that they went to a diner and they sat right in front of the window, backs against to it, and Gigi's just, like, rubbing his back the whole entire time. Like, very, a lot of PDA, but, like, want to show that PDA.
Bradley Cooper during award season is one of the most annoying people on the planet. Like, how are you going to cry about, I forget the movie he did, I'm sorry, but he cried about the guy's ghost. And then, like, in another article, he's like, I didn't even know if I liked my kid. If someone came in with a gun, am I supposed to protect her? She could be an asshole. It's like, what the fuck is happening?
I know. I'm, like, wondering who is, like, his team and who's worked, because it's, like, really bad. Like, it's getting into that Ben Affleck kind of a stage where, you know, a lot of paparazzi saw him miserable with his Dunkin' Donuts getting the mail. I feel like Bradley Cooper is slowly entering that phase.
Yeah, and what people don't realize is Bradley Cooper has, like, a personal paparazzi that he calls in the West Village of New York, like, every day.
Yeah. I forget that he does that. He lives in that, like, yeah, area where, yeah, they're always, no matter what. I know he, I feel like, is the most I see on, like, paparazzi. Like, he's the most watched, but, like, I put him on my worst week ever because I really do think with that movie where he is doing a autobiography of this conductor who was secretly gay mm-hmm. and was in a marriage with Carey Mulligan, and everyone thought that this movie was going to be like Oscar winning nominated, but so many people were, you know, stuck on the prosthetic nose of it all. And like, I don't know, Bradley Cooper, I just feel like he hasn't been doing so well career wise, and it's very questionable what's happening in his personal life.
Totally agree with you.
Who do you have anyone else for your worst week ever honorable mentions?
I don't, like I said, I was gonna add Andy Cohen, but like so many people came to bat for him that yeah, I think for me it was like the Biebers and like Haley specifically.
So it's funny that you mentioned, because we'll move on to the runner-ups, because I put Andy as my worst week runner-up, but also Bravo Headquarters. I feel like Mo Money, Mo Problems, because Bravo has definitely been like, you know, killing it with the Scandoval Housewives franchise are getting rebooted. Housewives that were casted in the first season are coming back, like Real Housewives of Atlanta. And I feel like with all that good news, of course, bad news is going to be coming out. The Caroline Manzo of it all. I highly recommend listening to Bravo Docket. They have been doing such an excellent job of, you know, letting us know what is in the court cases and the papers. I really recommend checking them out, guys, because I know this podcast is not very informational. It's very like, you know, alleged purposes, entertainment only. But Bravo Docket does like a really great job of just getting into the nitty gritty of what's going on with the lawsuits. But definitely Andy, for, you know, apparently Leah McSweeney came out saying that he favors housewives. No shock there. But she also said that he favors them because they do cocaine together, which is like, okay, like not a big deal. But
see, also, I disagree.
You disagree. Okay, please answer. I just know, I mean, you live in New York. I'm talking about a New York in the early 2010s and like New York City that like my friends, and cocaine is
no, like, so I totally agree with you. It would not surprise me. I just think as like he executive produces these shows, right? Like he has a producer credit, and I don't think you should be doing coke with talent. Like that's just, and which is crazy because like we talk about all Hollywood doing coke, but like he can do coke with Kelly Ripa. He can do coke with whoever. I don't, and I think like it has been allegedly proven he has favorites.
Oh, he definitely has favorites. And I agree with you because these are not, he can do that with Kelly Ripa. He can do that with Hoda, you know what I mean? Because those are people who are like already designed to be in front of the camera, work in that sort of line. And these are reality stars. I completely understand what you're yeah. putting down. Yeah, I understand. But also, I'm just very much in the environment of it all. Like, I don't know, like Leah has been such a big flop. I liked her the first season she came out, and her doing this to Bravo, and then in the same breath saying that she would go back to Real Housewives after her basically trashing her boss and airing him out. Like, I don't understand her end of the game.
Yeah, and I honestly think my take on this is like people don't agree. So, you know, yeah. if you don't, if like if people are listening, or even if you disagree, like that's totally fine, you know?
Yeah. But definitely it's a worse week for Andy and the Bravo headquarters, but I'm sure with all these reunions and new shows coming out, we'll see what will happen in the future with Bravo and Andy. Who is your worst week ever runner up?
So it was the Biebers. I'm sorry. I think no, I did my homework wrong. Yeah, so I said worst week, like honorable mention runner-up was the Biebers. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. You're good. I wanted to move on to worst week ever winner. Who is your worst week ever winner this week?
The Queer Eye guys, JVN and in the whole group.
Did you want to add anything else to the article? Because I know we stated the fact that Jonathan Van Ness came out as a monster and not the lovey-dovey person that we see on TV. But did anything else like surprise you in the article at all?
No, I guess it was almost like, I don't know if vindication is the right word, but I always thought they were mean to, or they meaning the entire group, not just JVN, were like rude to Bobby. And honestly, I was a big JVN girl when Queer Eye like first started. Really loved all their quotes, loved their whole thing. And in my mind, I was like, this is the one that's good. Like, we can really have one. And of course, it's like the Ellen, right? It's like, you can't have someone who's just genuinely nice like that in the Hollywood unless you're like fucking Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, no, I've been side-eye. I mean, like, and she is like my biggest muse star. I've been a little bit side-eyeing Drew Barrymore, even more so after the whole writer's strike and what she decided to do. I've been like, are you okay? You hang out with Jimmy Fallon.
I'm also worried about Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, I mean, she looks great. And she did move to LA, right? She's not in New York City anymore.
No, she's in New York.
Oh, it was the other way around.
Other way around.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, that makes me happy for her. And I'm so excited for that divorce album. Like, don't even get me started.
No. Yeah, I guess nothing else to add about Queer Eye. It was just something like so unexpected.
It was very unexpected. And apparently they are supposed to start filming soon, a new season with a new interior designer now that Bobby's out. Who is, I think his name is Jeremiah, or is that his Jeremiah's husband? He was like in Oprah. His name is Nate.
I'm not sure.
But yeah.
Nate, I think it's Nate.
Yeah, he's like taking over Bobby's job, which God bless, because he's got a lot of work to do. I hope he brings his own team.
I actually could throw in a different person for worst week.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Meek Mill. If people listening aren't aware, like, he was heavily documented in the Diddy filings that recently came out. Him and Diddy were allegedly like a couple, and all of that gets leaked, and then Meek Mill gets in a car accident, and it's like, Diddy probably fucking cut your brakes because he blew up Kid Cudi's car.
Honestly, Meek Mill, ever since that leaked about, because he has his name on an allegation that is related with P. Diddy, with a producer basically having like being trafficked, sex trafficked. Mm-hmm. And when that came out, because Meek Mill's name was out, he was like on a Twitter meltdown, like going on live as well. Like, just, I was like, everybody has eyes on Meek, please, because it looks like he is just like, and the biggest problem for him was that he's not gay, which is like, sir, you are being accused of trafficking, like sex trafficking. Like, I wouldn't be worrying about if people think I'm gay or not. But yeah, the fact that he got into a car accident, did he like live tweet that as well? I should look that up, actually.
I don't believe he did, but I believe his brakes gave out or something.
Wow.
So it's like,
that is Diddy.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, but still, like, after the whole Kid Cudi and how Diddy just is literally moves like a mafia person. Yeah, and I'm still with the whole like J-Lo thing. I wish J-Lo can tell us a little bit more about their relationship. I remember that New Year's.
I know. She's like, No. Like, she has a mugshot because of him, you know?
Yeah. I wonder if Ben Affleck and Diddy have words with each other. I'd love to see that.
Oh, God.
So for my worst week ever, guys, because this has been floating around and it's literally business that I did not care for until it got really messy. And that is the complete breakdown of the Cyrus family drama. Miley Cyrus's family has been out in the tabloids right now because her mom, Tish, who got married to an actor, the Prison Break actor, not the good looking one, the ugly brother one, Dominic. They got married, Tish and him. But then we are finding out now that Dominic had relations with Noah, who is the baby of the Cyrus family. Noah Cyrus, she is 24 years old, guys. This man, Dominic, is 52. Apparently, they had a relationship when she was about 18, 19. So, like, literally, it just gets worse and worse. And she has been on podcast interviews, Noah Cyrus, talking about her relationship with Dominic and how they are spiritually together. And she has also talked about depression, how she was numb at certain points, and Dominic helped her through that sexually with BDSM. Very disturbing because of the age gap difference. Well, while this was happening, of course, Dominic was living with Noah at the time, and that is when Noah and Tish met, which is really, like, the way they met is just so, and it's so weird how they try to picture them two as this, like, fairy tale couple that they love each other, blah, blah, blah. But yes, it has come out now that Noah and Dominic has had some sort of relationship. And then when Tish came into the picture, that's when everyone was calling Noah crazy, which I think the biggest villain, who is not a Cyrus at all, is Dominic. He is the biggest villain in this picture. I really do think that he's calling Noah crazy. Don't believe her. Again, she's 24. So I can totally see these adults, and I'm putting air quotes, adults, just saying, like, yeah, don't listen to her. I'm going to listen to Dominic. But yeah, no, definitely just the whole airing out of the family drama is a worst week ever, especially for Miley Cyrus, who just won a Grammy this week, her first Grammy ever. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree with you about Dominic. Why is nobody mad at him for being 50 something dating a 20 something year old? You know, It's like, if you want to be up in arms about, like, Kristen Cavallari dating someone 12 years younger, like, can we also put that energy on Dominic Purcell if all this is, like, confirmed? Which I find really interesting that the Cyrus family hasn't, like, debunked it yet.
I mean, Miley did come out saying, like, wow, I didn't know about that. And that was it. That was the extent of it.
Oh, I didn't even know she, like, responded with that.
Yeah, she was like, I'm paraphrasing here, but she basically said, I didn't know that's how it happened, or that's how my parents met. Like, she was, like, oblivious to it all, which makes me believe that she does know a little bit about it. She just doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, she's like, my family's so fucked up, I don't want to, like, open Pandora's box.
I mean, the fact that Billy Ray Cyrus is with a 20-whatever-year-old who used to be in the cast of Hannah Montana. Like,
they're all messed up over there, honestly.
They truly are. Like, people talk about the Smiths, like, you know, Will and Jada. But the Cyrus family is true Hollywood story. Like,
absolutely. Like, I said on Beyond the Blinds this week, I'll say it again, like, make an iron claw about the Carter family and the Cyrus family. Yeah. I need to know everything about both of those Hollywood families.
Oh my, definitely the Carter family. Yeah, that's like a deep dive that I would love to watch.
For sure.
But yes, that was our worst week ever category. We're going to move on to our best week ever, which best week ever honorable mentions. I will go first with J-Lo and Ben, guys. I know I was talking shit about J-Lo's. I don't even think it was, if it was shit, I was just being honest, but I did talk about J-Lo's new album, visual movie, and then I saw the documentary, and I saw how J-Lo and Ben Affleck's love is, and I was like, you know what, I'm smitten for these two, and I'm here for it, and I don't care what the tabloids say, I'm here for J-Lo and Ben together forever. They are just so cute together, and the way he eggs her on. There's a cute clip, I'll put it on the show notes, where she is discussing just, you know, the synopsis of it all, of her visual album movie, and Ben Affleck's just reading the script, and he's like, so you're 28 in this script. And she's, and this is supposed to be autobiography. And she's like, it's meta. And he's like, okay. Like, it's just very, like, which it's kind of dark now that I was going to say, like, it's bringing me back to like when Nick and Jessica were in Newlyweds the first season. It was just so cute, their little banter. But now, like, I don't want to compare that with Bennifer. But it just made me want that back again, that like that newlywed, like, I need another camera in their house. Just, I want more little clips like this.
Yeah. That's, I cannot like Bennifer. I just don't like Ben or J-Lo. So like, that's all you.
It is all me. It's because he's such a Boston guy and she's such a New York girl. I don't know if it's the East Coast of me where I'm like, yeah, that is a fairy tale princess story.
Listen, I'm from Massachusetts. Like, I should like Ben Affleck. I just don't.
Wait, are you, I gotta ask, Ben Affleck or Matt Damon?
Well, I mean, Matt Damon openly said he used the F slur up until like 2021. So I guess I have to go with Ben Affleck because I'm a lesbian.
Who do you have for your best week ever honorable mention?
Okay, I have a few honorable mentions because I did my homework on this part. I'm sorry about the bad week section, but I actually put Kristen Cavallari in there because that girl wants headlines and she got them, and I'm just gonna say that. Do I think it's real? No, but like, Kristen loves to be talked about, and no one's, and people are talking about her.
Like, did we forget about her and Tyler Cameron? Like, hello. I am here for it too. Like, I am not here for the bad talk. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think Kristen, what I genuinely think happened is a picture was leaked to TMZ. And I don't think Kristen wants to be known as like just hooking up with people. So she was like, shit, shit, shit. What do I do?
No, she got more views on TikTok. I think she got leaned in. Yes, exactly. She's leaning in. Mm-hmm. Who else do you have?
I have Rita Moreno, and this is like so random. So I love her. She's an EGOT winner. She's like in her 90s now. So I feel like whenever she does interviews, she just says like whatever the fuck she wants. And she just said to get back at Frank Sinatra for breaking her heart, she slept with Elvis. And I'm like, that's what I want to know. Like, if I, that's like the true gossip I want to know about.
I'm here for that type of gossip. I don't know if you heard this before, but when I forgot who it was, they were having a meeting with Beyonce and Jay-Z was watching Judge Judy on the television. And I was like, that's the type of facts that I want to know. Like, I want right. to know what's on their like TV guide. Like, what's their most watched episode?
Yeah, like, I hope that when certain celebrities get to 90, they're just like, I'm going to tell you guys everything now.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm here for it too. Did you have anyone else for best week ever honorable mention?
No, I just have my runner-up.
Who do you have for your best week ever runner-up?
So this is really random, but it's West from Summer House. We haven't had a fun guy on Summer House in a long time, especially like a fun new guy. He's giving me good vibes. I know we're only like a few episodes in. I hope that they continue. But yeah, I think he does seem nice. I know I'm probably going to regret saying that because it's a Bravo man. But yeah, West. West from Summer House is having best, well, runner up to best week ever.
I am actually siding with you. So I don't watch Summer House, but because of Bravo, I am so up to date. It's on my algorithm. Like, my friends are talking a bit about it. So like, I know about the Lindsay and Carl and like the Danielle and Lindsay of it all. So I saw clips of Wes, and one of the cutest one was, like, I think Paige asked him like, who's your biggest fan? And he points to Sierra and he's like, I just used you for a joke. And I was like, oh my God, I'm already in love with this dude.
Yeah. Like, He seems nice. He knows how to party. When he's drunk, he's not yelling at the girls. I mean, the bar's definitely like in hell, but he seems fun.
I know. And the mustache, I don't know what it is with like blonde men and mustaches, because it's really cute on him. He's pulling it off really well. But it is giving me a little bit of a PTSD with Scandoval and that mustache. So I just hope that he's revamping it, rebranding it, reclaiming like mustaches are good and in and can fit on good guys.
I could be playing this up, but to me, he seems like someone who doesn't know how like attractive he is just by, I mean, I don't think he's ugly like at all, but like his personality just makes him so much more attractive.
Yeah, no, because when I did see his Instagram, I was like, this is who everyone is like. And yeah. Then I saw the clips and I was like, I get it. I get it.
Like, we don't need someone to have an 8-pack Bravo.
Yeah, we don't. We just need someone who's super fun and lovable.
Right, exactly. Unless they're like Luca from Below Deck, who's has an 8-pack and he's like a little bit of a fuckboy, but whatever.
So for my best week ever runner-up, I have to give it to, this is a personal one too, Kid Fury is doing a tour stand-up, guys, and I am super excited to get tickets. I'm a huge Kid Fury fan. If you guys listen to The Read with Crystal and Kid Fury, they literally are the pillar to helping me with my, you know, depression, just like Kid Fury just being open and honest and super open about his battle with depression. You know, like, I can't help but love him even more because he's hilarious. His opinions are always, I like value them so much. And for him to pick himself up and do this tour, like, I just can't wait. I think I'm going to give him like buy a bouquet of roses for him for that show, just because of like how truly appreciative I am of someone in that caliber of like, you know, being a writer in the writer's room, working with Issa Rae in that production, and still coming out and saying like, hey, I'm not happy and I should be happy. Kid Fury is like the best ever. I highly recommend checking out The Read, and I will put the tour dates. I know tickets are going to be coming out this weekend, but if you are on the Patreon, he is releasing them a day early. But yeah.
What's the podcast called? It sounds awesome.
The Read.
The Read. I'm going to write that down. That sounds like a great podcast.
They at the end of the show, they have The Read, which they basically read someone to filth. Sometimes it's like a great filth or like just like, you know, just like expressing love to that person. But other times, like, the way that they go down for Beyonce, also they recently met Beyonce, I want to say last week. And I thought I was just happy for them to be in the same room with Beyonce. They didn't even know that they were going to like take a photo with them or whatever. That was like a best week ever for them. But yeah, definitely. If you know Kid Fury's story, you know that he deserves all this love and praise. And yeah, I'm just super excited for this stand-up. I'm excited for this summer. I'm going to see you guys and Kid Fury. Like, my year is made.
That's awesome. That's great. Yeah. I'm not like familiar with him, but I will be after this podcast.
I think you would like it a lot. You definitely
Yeah.
Would.
Cool.
Who is your best week winner?
I got to go with Jason Kelce. I have been a bit of a, not the biggest Travis fan, just because I am a Patriots fan first and a Chiefs hater second. But Jason Kelce, I don't know. He seems like one of the good ones. When it comes to like any athlete, I'm never going to hold my breath. But I don't know. His speech was really nice. And he's kind of doing like a big world tour of his retirement. And he just seems to be having a great time with it. And you know, people really seem to like Jason Kelce.
I mean, he did have that documentary with him and his wife and his kids. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of people seeing that totally related to his family. And yeah, I am more of a Jason than Travis fan for sure. Because Travis, I don't know.
I remember Travis from 3 years ago. Other people don't.
Yeah. I don't people don't realize that he loves fame and Jason loves his family.
Yeah. I mean, I think Travis and like Taylor have the same like love language, which is being more famous. But yeah, Jason Kelce does seem like he's just like along for the ride. And I don't know. After the Super Bowl, he seemed very fun. And
oh my God, in Vegas when he dressed,
yeah.
like what Zach Galifianakis from Las Vegas Hangover. I was like, I want to party with this dude.
Yeah. So I'll say Jason Kelce, final answer.
Yeah, he did retire. I saw a lot of tears from obviously his mom and his brother when he announced his leave of the NFL. But I think this is great. If anything, he would be a great commentator on ESPN. I don't see him going away.
Yeah, that's 100%. And honestly, I think that that's kind of why the NFL wanted to push him so bad, because they wanted him, like, people to be familiar with his face enough to become a commentator.
Yeah. No, I think this is great for Jason. We're going to see more of, hopefully, like maybe another documentary of just like his family.
Oh, I'm sure this isn't the last of the Kelces.
I feel like I'm having, because of the writer's strike and reality TV, it's bringing me back to the 2000s where I relied on reality TV because scripted shows was very minimum. Like we had the OC. But I would love to have some sort of like, and I don't want bad juju to it either, but I would love some sort of like Newlyweds or Till Death Do Us Part kind of a series with, it can be Jason Kelce and his wife and their kids. Like I would like to watch that. For my best week ever.
Kiss of death though. Kiss of death.
Yeah. It is a kiss of death. For my best week ever winner, I actually am going to give it to a Bravo lady who has been killing it behind the scenes. Luann De Lesseps is now dating Mary-Kate Olsen's ex-husband, Olivier Sarkozy. And they were seen together. And this is like an appropriate age for them to be together. She's 58. I think he's 54. If you guys remember, he was in his mid-40s when he was with Mary-Kate Olsen. It was a very strange relationship. I'm still in question of what happened and how that started. But yeah, the pair were seen enjoying nearly 2 hours together at some sort of restaurant. And this is great for Luann. I know she's been killing it with her tour show. And also, I don't watch Southern Hospitality, but I do know the tea with Danielle and Joe Bradley, and the whole tea with Joe Bradley and Luann. I think it's so Luann.
Watching Luann flirt is like high art.
Honestly, that was my favorite part of Crappy Lake, the mm-hmm. series with her and Sonia. I just wish, I don't need Patty Stanger telling me how to catch a millionaire. I need Luann showing these ladies how to flirt, because she can literally make anything hot. Mm-hmm. Like the popsicle story with the Real Housewives Ultimate Girl Trip. The fact that like that man gave, like that is, I want to give out that aura.
Like I am ready to fuck anytime.
Yes. And I'm just hot all the time. Like she I don't know if you are a Roni watcher from when she started to now, like she has just gotten better looking. And it's like, it's not even cosmetically surgeon. Like, you know, it's just like she is naturally like that. I don't know. That's just my opinion, but Luann has totally been killing it. This sexy mama. I hope to be like her in my 50s. So we are now at the end of the show where I ask my guests what their favorite song is from the early 2000s to 2000, 2010, and we are in the year of 2002. Super excited for this. The song is Can't Hold Us Down featuring Little Kim by Christina Aguilera. Can you please tell me, where were you when you first heard this song and what makes it your favorite?
Well, last time I think I said Breakaway by Kelly Clarkson, so I couldn't use that. Can't Hold Us Down, I kind of like refound it when I was like 17-ish. But I can remember watching it on like TRL and thinking Christina looked so good. And I thought Lil' Kim was like such a badass. And, you know, then you're a little older and you're like, wow, this song really is about like women empowerment. And of course, when I was like younger, I was like, oh, this is just cool. Cause like, you know, like women can do whatever they want, but you know, I didn't girl power. I don't know, but I don't know. I think it's a fun song and really a fun song to like revisit when you're out with your friends or like getting ready to go out.
I was actually listening to this when I asked you and I was like, I can't believe this song was erased from my memory because I remember it being super popular. It being on TRL, the music video. And Lil' Kim and Christina Aguilera, they've been in a song before together of the Lady Marmalade. And the album stripped, I feel like it is such a great album to go back to. Like, yes, there's Dirty, but the fact that she has Beautiful in there. And yeah, Christina Aguilera, her resurgence is really coming back to right now. And I would love to have that song being played like live now as a performance.
Totally. And of course, now like the political climate, I'll just say that. And being like a woman in it can be scary. So it's just like, it's a good pump up song.
I know times are getting better, but sometimes the commentary you guys are putting out there, I'm not saying you, Kelly, I'm talking to the audience. It is giving me 2000s flashback about like women's body, what women should do. And yeah, like with Christina Aguilera coming back and obviously she's on Ozempic, I think that's great for her because she looks better than ever. But yeah, no, it's, I don't know. I go back and forth with it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
About Christina or the song or?
I know I'm all over the place. I'm like talking about Christina and then talking about, yeah, I'm all over the place. Kelly.
No. I'm happy to comment on any of it.
Kelly, thank you so much for being in my brain for this past hour. I appreciate you so much. Can you please let my listeners know where they can follow you or if you have anything else to plug in?
Yeah, absolutely. I do agree what you're saying about how people are starting to talk about like it's the early 2000s again. I just want to say I do. That's what I was like, can I comment on that? Because I agree with that. But you can find me on Laguna Biatch on Instagram and on Twitter. I co-host Beyond the Blinds. We are going on tour. I hope to see you guys there. Vanessa, this has just been so much fun. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I had so much fun. And yeah, I can't wait to see you this summer. And thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
Spread the word. Can't hold us down. Yeah. We here. We back again. Yeah. Little Kim and Christina Aguilera.